You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
When you think about the Constitution of the United States, for everybody that's looking at our country, that is actually the document that was written 230-something years ago. First, it was the Declaration of Independence, where we declared our independence from the King of England because we had no choice. I mean, there was 27 different reasons why we did. And the biggest thing was the fact that we needed to be under God and not under a king. America's one nation under God instead of under a king. And so then America had to have a government that actually was by the people, since we're the people are the ones in charge. And so the Constitution says, okay, we'll have a government, but this is what we'll allow the government to do and to be. And so they wrote the Constitution. And so the Constitution is under the people. It's the derivative where government comes from. And so in that, it describes, you know, what a president is, what Congress is, what the judicial branch is. And we're going to talk about that. But I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
And so the Constitution is really important. Well, there's many amendments to the Constitution, but the first 10 amendments were very important, which came about 12 years later after the Constitution. We call those the Bill of Rights. They're so important. I mean, very important. You know, coming from law enforcement experience, I knew that when I was in law enforcement, it was those 10 amendments that told me as a law enforcement officer, this is your rights. When I'm talking to you on the streets, or I'm pulling your car over for a possible speeding violation, or you're getting arrested, if you're getting arrested, you still are innocent until proven guilty. You got to have a jury of your peers. That all comes from the Constitution, that you get a right to a speedy trial, that you can't be searched without a search warrant. All these different things, unless it's certain incident to arrest and different, that's all constitutional things. Without that, prior to the Constitution, prior to the American Revolution, you know, the British government would, British soldiers would come in America, the 13 colonies, and they would just kick your front door in, they would eat all your food, they would live in your house, they would just do whatever they wanted to, because it's a king, it's a monarchy. America is a unique experiment that's taking place, and it's still amazing thing that, you know, we can be free as long as we're willing to maintain God over our nation and hold to the Constitution that we've been given. Well, First Amendment of the Constitution talks about, you know, we have the right to be able to have this program right now and talk to you. Other countries wouldn't be able to have it. As a matter of fact, if past presidential candidates would have actually got into office, they said they wanted to change a lot of the fundamental religious beliefs, and they wanted to change the freedoms that were going on to be able to speak. And right now on college campuses, the place you're supposed to learn how to speak diverse conversation, they're shutting conversation down. Well, we're not going to talk about the First Amendment. We're going to talk about the Second Amendment today of the Constitution. The Second Amendment is so important because it's about being able to have a free nation. So we're free, but how do you keep that freedom? And we want to talk about it first by looking at it. Let's look at the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. And the key to this particular amendment is this is how you keep the freedom. You don't keep the freedom because you like freedom or you like each other. It says right here very specifically, John, read that.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
So where does it talk about hunting? You see hunting
nope,
in there anywhere?
Nope, no hunting.
It's
nope.
Specifically about the security of a free state. Every time a leader in history says, for whatever reason they say it, that you need to turn in your guns, it's not long after that where all of a sudden the people lose all their freedom. Hitler said that. They put their thugs out there to cause people to be fearful. And he says, I'll protect you from these guys who have these bad guns. Just turn your guns in. But when the good people don't have guns, the only people that have guns are the
bad ones.
People. And the best thing for a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. How I know that was every time somebody got in trouble and they were fearful for their life and they wanted help, they would call me as a law enforcement officer, and they weren't calling me for any other reason than the fact that I had a gun and I had authority to use that gun.
That's right.
And it's real strange when you're talking to people who have a knife and you're bringing a gun and you put the knife down sometimes. But in the context of that, there's a reason. So the remedy of that, and not only that, you know, there's a statement, I believe, we had it from one of our universities that, not from the university, but about a university study about America, is the reason why America works is because its people are good, hard, and the church and God is in the hearts of the people. But it's so important. It says, when the government fears the people, then you got freedom. When the people fear the government, that's when you don't have freedom. Yeah. And so the government, when the government starts demanding your guns, and they're not demanding your guns right now, but they were, you know, the previous administration were demanding it. The words were being said that police officers are bad. They were from leadership, from the top leadership. They were actually polarizing the community against the very thing that keeps the community safe. And the second thing was they were polarizing them against the gun. I mean, somebody sneezed and they said, take the guns. Somebody would, something, take the guns. And it's like, why is it always taking the guns? Well, you look at what took place with Venezuela. They took the guns, you know, under Chavez, and they voted Chavez in, and it wasn't long until he took all their freedom. And now Maduro, who has been voted out of office, but he's staying there now as a dictator, socialism has taken over. They're controlling the people. They're killing the people. They're running over them with the vehicles. And he's flying off with all the gold, billions of dollars worth of gold, and taking it out of Venezuela. That's the people's gold. But you know what he's saying? He's saying it's my gold. Why? Because they gave up their authority. They gave up the ownership of the country when they gave up their authority to protect that. So the right of the people to bear arms, right, shall not be infringed on, because that keeps, would have kept Venezuela safe.
That's right.
Because right now people have sticks and bad words to throw at the government, but and the government's the only one that's armed.
It's...
So in America, if you think in America, you know, we have people that focus on the First Amendment. They have, they're like First Amendment organizations that really, you know, focus on the First Amendment. And you have other organizations, and one primary one is the National Rifles Association, that teaches people about safe gun ownership and focuses on that Second Amendment of the Constitution. If you support the Constitution, you're an American. People, you support the Constitution, people say, that's bad. It's like, no, it's pretty good, because the Sixth Amendment protects you, the Fifth Amendment protects you, and the Second Amendment protects you. And if you don't have the First Amendment, you're going to lose all the other ones, which is the being able to speak. Well, you know, it's very, very important to understand that. Well, that, you see, the National Rifles Association has been under major attack in America because the people who want to go the way of socialism and communism are saying, you can't do that unless you take away the people's ability to protect the free state. Hence, you got to take away their guns. Well, NRA is a real difficult thing to be able to handle because it's a very strong organization. They are hitting it. They are attacking it. And but understand, it's always happened. But it's important to understand, you're not praying for guns. You're praying for a nation, a free nation, a free people. And with that comes a responsibility of that. And President Trump actually was at...
Yes, he is.
He was at the National Rifle Association meeting.
He was there, and with NRA, they're not only protecting gun rights here, but internationally. There's, believe it or not, there are other nations that are trying to take away our guns. They have a position, the NRA, on international and United Nations gun control. And according to their website, they're saying that the most pressing international threat to U.S. gun owners is the UN Arms Treaty, also known as ATT. Among its most egregious provisions, the treaty encourages national record-keeping requirements for end users of covered arms, including firearms, and suggests that national governments share such records.
Right.
Further, the ATT compels countries to make...
Not AT&T now.
No, no, okay. ATT.
Right.
Further compels countries to make arms import and export decisions based upon a trading partner's willingness to abide by the treaty's requirements, which could isolate the United States from legitimate trade in arms or force it to adopt restrictions detrimental to the Second Amendment rights.
Well, you remember our previous president, President Barack Obama, was in the United Nations. We had him on VFN TV talking about we need to sign away some of our freedoms to the United Nations. And so if you sign over your right to bear arms or ability to find you and remove those arms, you're signing over your freedom. Hegemony has always been in men's heart, you know, in those who, it was in Lucifer's heart, and it's about, hegemony is about men still want to rule the world. But the good news is President Trump actually signed that away and pulled America out of it, and he did it at the National Rifle Association gathering. Take a look. This is President Trump signing right in front of everyone the removal of America from that crazy idea that took away our Second Amendment rights. Check it out.
And we have shut down the previous administration's massive abuse of power known as Operation Choke Point. Under this ill-advised program, government bureaucrats discouraged banks from making loans to gun retailers, a backdoor attack on private gun ownership that will never be allowed to happen on my watch. That's step one, folks. Step one. You know what step two, three, and four is? Step four is you don't have guns. You don't have any way to protect yourself. Today, I'm proud to announce another historic step to protect your Second Amendment rights. And I didn't tell Chris and Wayne and Oliver. I didn't even tell them about it. So they're listening in this big room someplace in a sec. I wonder what he's going to do. The good thing with me, you never know. Never know. That's why we're making trade deals that are so good for our country. So in the last administration, President Obama signed the UN Arms Trade Treaty. And in his waning days in office, he sent the treaty to the Senate to begin the ratification process. This treaty threatened your subjugate, and you know exactly what's going on here, your rights and your constitutional and international rules and restrictions and regulations. Under my administration, we will never surrender American sovereignty to anyone. We will never allow foreign bureaucrats to trample on your Second Amendment freedom. And that is why my administration will never ratify the UN Arms Trade Treaty. I hope you're happy. I'm impressed. I didn't think too many of you would really know what it is. You know what it is? A big factor. But I see a couple of very happy faces from the NRA over there. And I am officially announcing today that the United States will be revoking the effect of America's signature from this badly misguided treatment. We're taking our signature back. The United Nations will soon receive a formal notice that America is rejecting this treaty. As part of this decision, I will sign right now, in front of a lot of witnesses, a lot of witnesses, a message asking the Senate to discontinue the treaty ratification process and to return the now rejected treaty right back to me in the Oval Office, where I will dispose of it. By taking these actions, we are reaffirming that American liberty is sacred, and that American citizens live by American laws, not the laws of foreign countries. Thank you.
That's so powerful. Remember, you saw in our program where our rights were being surrendered over to the United Nations. They were about to give up. We had Senator Ted Cruz on our program talking about, you know, giving up the ICANN in regards to where you get the URL for your web addresses. It was going to be given over. The internet was going to be given over as a public utility. All these things are being taken back and going to a new level. I mean, God's just having mercy on our nation. Freedom is here if we want to be free and be able to be, stand up for each other. Listen, what are your thoughts, you know, positive thoughts? What are your thoughts? Comment below. You know, what are your thoughts on a president who stands up for the Constitution, not for guns, just standing up for the Constitution? Because Second Amendment says to be able to have a free nation, every citizen has to have the right to be able to possess or bear arms, to be able to basically, if the government gets all wild and tries to come down like King, you know, the King did over, King George did over, over the we were called New England then, a big
colonists
during that time, then we couldn't respond, but they did respond because of our founding fathers, and literally our founding fathers, you know, those that gave their life and their liberty and everything to be able to fight for our freedom today, they one by one tried to belittle them, you know, be critical of them. Why? Because if you remove all your boundary stones of why you are where you are, you don't know where you are anymore. Mm. And they've been working one by one. You got to regain your history, relearn your history. America, the original tent of America. And we have segment after segment on VFN TV. You can go back and look at the history on it. You can go to the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com and begin to listen and watch the history of America, how we got here, how we stay here if we want to stay here. So you think about it. What actually is gun ownership about in America? And PragerU, you did an excellent job in explaining about gun ownership and the Second Amendment in America. Take a look.
Does an American citizen have a constitutional right to own a gun? Here's what the Second Amendment says. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Now, it once seemed to me like that language only protected state militias and not individuals. Indeed, this is the view held by the four dissenting Supreme Court justices in the 2008 case of District of Columbia versus Heller, a landmark case dealing with gun ownership. But the more research I did, the more I came to realize that my initial view was mistaken, and that the founders were in fact securing an individual right. The five justices who voted to affirm the right to own a gun in D.C. versus Heller had indeed made the correct decision. Let's look at the amendment one more time. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. We first need to focus on the phrase, the right of the people. Note that the people are the only ones whose right is secured here, not the militia or a state government. This phrase, the right of the people, comes up a few times in the Constitution. For example, the First Amendment refers to the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government. And the Fourth Amendment secures the right of the people to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures. Why then, if the authors of the Constitution felt so strongly about the right of the people to own guns, did they include language about a well-regulated militia? These opening words of the amendment might be called a justification clause. Such clauses are used to help explain why a right is being secured. But it's the operative clause that explains what right is being secured. In this case, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And what was the word militia understood to mean at the time? Well, the Militia Act of 1792 defined militia to mean all white males 18 to 45. Today, of course, militia would include women and people of all races. But it was clearly not a reference to a small National Guard-type group. And what about the part of the amendment that says a militia is necessary to the security of a free state? What, the opponents of personal gun ownership ask, does a personal right of gun ownership have to do with that? Again, historical context is key. In the 1790s, the phrase free state wasn't used to mean an individual state like New York or Rhode Island. Rather, it meant what we'd call today a free country, a nation free of despotism. A free state is what the framers wanted America to be. They saw an armed citizenry as in part a hedge against tyranny. Citizens who own weapons can protect themselves, prevent tyrants from seizing power, and protect the nation from foreign enemies. This does not mean, though, that this right is unlimited. Free speech, for example, has long been subject to some narrow and reasonable regulations. But severe restrictions on owning a gun, like severe restrictions on free speech, would violate the Second Amendment as the founders understood it. Maybe you think this understanding of the Second Amendment is outdated today, that the Constitution needs to change as public attitudes change. The founders included a provision for doing just that. If the public attitude really has changed, the Constitution can be amended to reflect that change. But ironically, even if we focus on current public attitudes, the case for individual gun ownership is as strong as ever. Polls consistently show that over two-thirds of Americans believe that the Second Amendment secures the right of citizens to own a gun. And Congress and state governments have repeatedly reaffirmed this view, including in recent decades. So, does the Second Amendment secure an individual right to bear arms? It did when it was written, it has throughout American history, and it does today. I'm Eugene Volokh, professor of law at UCLA for Prager University.
You see, nothing has changed, but people are trying to change things. And so often they'll tell you things and create narratives and buy media and take over our school systems, begin to teach people different than what the truth is. And next thing you know, you start thinking it's changed. It hasn't changed. But we have to stand up and say, you know what, let's just stick to the Constitution. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, which is freedom, and justice, not social justice, but justice for everyone. Mm. There's no such thing as a unique justice. It's justice for everyone. So when you hear people talk about social justice, they're using social issues trying to change what is. But if we're talking about justice, it's you deserve justice, your neighbor deserves justice, and everybody deserves justice. Not just social groups, everybody deserves it. And that's what the American Constitution is about. That's what the experiment is about. So it's so important. It's why we keep our constitutional rights. What are your thoughts on this? This is very important. Share your comments below, you know, where it's the Second Amendment. Now that you have a better understanding of the Constitution, maybe you're learning about it. How do you feel about President Trump signing us free from the United Nations, getting our sovereignty back when it comes to the Second Amendment? And also write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. I know we're about to go, but I want to say this. Don't forget about following us on Spotify. We just got on Spotify. Follow us there. Also, of course, we're on iTunes,
Google Play,
and you can actually rate us, go there, follow us, download our app. You can hear us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But when you rate it, when you give it like 5 stars and a few comments, it automatically brings it up and takes it out to more people. It's a way to evangelize the world and give them this kind of hope. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing, Father God, over each and every one. Lord, I ask you that you would keep the freedom over America. God, give us wisdom that you've established in this life how to maintain freedom over a nation, that we would remain one nation under God, God. Lord, we pray for our school system, Lord, that they begin to teach righteousness, what's right, teach our Constitution as it is, God, and freedom, Father God. And we pray right now, Lord God, a blessing over our people. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third grade awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And how easy is it? Love God, love others, and lead others, your neighbor and everybody else, to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.